This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Hello and welcome to Borscht Club. Today I'm joined once again by my guest co-host and resident expert on Ukrainian memories and comparisons with New Zealand, Olena Hrab. I am Olya, and Olena is right here with me. Today we are doing what Ukrainians usually do in the kitchen, and where else would the best borscht be made? We talk, we argue a little, and we laugh about how we see the world, how others see us, and why those two pictures so rarely match. So let's get into it.
Hello, Olena. It's nice to have you in studio again.
Always.
Yeah. When you came to New Zealand, what was the first impression and what surprised you?
When I came to New Zealand, what was my first impression and what surprised me in New Zealand? Well, of course, I had a prejudice. Now, first time I came to New Zealand with the prejudice that this country has more sheep than people.
Yes.
It's very funny.
35 million of sheep, yeah?
Is it?
5 million of people.
I heard something like that. 30 million of sheep and 5 million of people. So this was the prejudice, because when you're far away, you don't know anything about it, right? You learn from these jokes. About people.
And did you hear jokes about New Zealand and Ukraine? I didn't. Because we just came to New Zealand, we knew nothing about New Zealand.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I was married to a New Zealander, so my situation is very different. But your situation would be very interesting, yeah.
Okay, what jokes did you hear about New Zealand before coming to New Zealand?
In Ukraine, you're right. There's no jokes about New Zealanders in Ukraine, because there's almost no New Zealanders in Ukraine. So there are more, but it used to be only a couple of people, and it was not really. We could have formed our own opinion about New Zealanders, because we didn't hear any jokes about them. You know, we didn't know anything about them. But from the 3 or 4 people that we had in the whole country, we had a very positive impression about New Zealanders, actually. So we thought they were fun, that they were always funny, like they joke very well. They also are very nice people from the point of view of some ethic. They will always help you. They will always, you know, in comparison to other people, they're always open-hearted, I'd say. They were always open-hearted, very genuine, very funny, hardworking, and just like normal people, you know?
So like normal people.
Like normal people. Yeah, without anything on the back of their mind. So I think my impression of the New Zealanders was formed by this small community in Ukraine, which was very, very positive. And of course, now when I'm in New Zealand, I can see more people, so that's varies.
Okay, let's rephrase that. What did you find interesting in New Zealand and very different from what you had in Ukraine?
Something odd. Well, of course, the fact that the Christmas is in July, and the fact that
the Christmas is still in December, but it's summer.
Yes. Not in July. Yes. Look, this is exactly how I am screwed up in my head, because July is the middle of summer, and this is what we have now. And that's why I'm saying Christmas in July, because my head, I think, up till now works on a very automatic response that right now is July. Because, I mean, not right now, it's not July, right now is the end of May. But although this is November, yeah, because
December. November is still,
it was
spring, not autumn.
Exactly.
And December is summer.
Yeah, this is something that I think freaks me out sometimes, because I'm mixed up in months of the year, which never happened to me before. And now it's every time this shoots, kind of like it's July now, my brain goes like, oh my God, you know, this is very wrong. So I think the fact that it's a different, you know, your Christmas is in summer, that was very odd for me. And then this barbecuing for Christmas was also very odd. And when you have this very bright summer weather, you have Santa on a sledge, for whatever reason.
Yes, somehow in this coat and hat.
In a coat and a hat, yeah.
And many people in New Zealand, I know that on North Island especially, they didn't see snow at all. In their life at all. Yeah, and I asked them, did they find odd Santa on the sledge in these windows of supermarket with snowballs, snowmans? Yeah, and they didn't find it strange somehow. So it's also...
They were born with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a part of the kind of what it was. So it was strange. And what else was very different? I think nature here was very different. Yeah, nature here. I think New Zealand, first of all, of course, impresses you with nature because it is very... Now I know the word. I think it's endemic, which is very special, like that doesn't exist anywhere in the world. So I thought this was very impressive, like all these big ferns. Like I've never seen something like that. You know, they're almost like from the movies. And of course, what we knew about New Zealand is the Lord of the Rings. When I've arrived, it was already the Lord of the Rings, and so we were obviously expecting the hobbits. And
the real hobbits.
The real hobbits.
New Zealanders are the small people. They live in the holes and the ground.
Feet. Yeah. That's something that you would probably expect to see. What about you?
The same. So the summer and winter, it's totally different. Also strange, the Christmas tree. So they put Christmas tree on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Well, logically. But we usually put Christmas tree. We didn't call it Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. But we put Christmas tree before New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So I even can put the Christmas tree on 31st of December. And it can stay till March, May.
Yes.
Mid of July.
There's a joke, in Ukraine for someone who takes out the Christmas tree in summer.
Or it can stay till next year.
We just taken out the Christmas tree. You know, we say that in July, how is sort of things are going, and sometimes you could hear the joke, we just thrown away the Christmas tree, and that means, you know, things are kind of slow.
Yeah. Also interesting, the weather. We can forecast the weather in Ukraine for months. So you know that July will be dry, for example. It could be a couple of rains, but you know when you have rain. And here, the weather change in an hour, in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I work in events here, and we can cancel event just because of severe warning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the day before the event, we don't know what the weather will be in advance. It's very strange. And for Ukraine, weather is so predictable.
Yes, weather is very predictable, sure, for the seasons. Yes, you're right. Now, here I was also like leave the house and I still don't know what to wear because I don't want to overdress because it can be very hot and then you're like all boiled. But then if it's cold, then if you don't have a jacket, it's very, very cold.
Yeah, and you can have here plus 25 and in an hour you can have plus 10.
Plus 10, yeah.
Yeah, and it will be very different weather. Snow in the morning, plus 18.
In the
evening.
Yeah, you can go to the beach at some point. And then this was happened to me actually last summer, is that when we just arrived and I have this, because I'm arriving for summer, so I've took all these summer dresses that you would normally wear in Europe for summer because it's predictable that it's going to be hot. You know, it's going to be a little bit cooler or a little bit hotter, but it's going to be hot.
Yeah, but a little bit.
Forth and back it's going to be, but still, you know that you're going to wear sandals, you know that you're going to wear a summer dress, you know that this is given. But you can, of course, wear like a jersey maybe on top sometimes, but most of the time it's going to be hot. And of course, I brought these dresses with me, and here, like, you go to town and I wear the dress and the sandals, and then in the end of the day, I started bringing my down jacket because it's so cold. Just putting it on top of that summer dress. It was very funny.
When we were going to come to New Zealand, we watched some videos in YouTube. We found a blogger who made videos all year.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw him at the same jacket all the time. We were not able to understand what the season is. And then we understood when we came here, because you can wear the jacket in winter, in summer, spring, autumn, it doesn't matter, you will wear the same jacket all the time.
Yes. in summer as well.
Yeah, in summer as well. Also, strange thing is central heating. We have central heating in Ukraine. It's not warm now because of the shellings and because of the war. But when we were in Ukraine, it's always warm in winter. And you have to open your windows, even if it's minus 20 outside, to get a little bit of fresh air. Yeah, because it's too hot. And here, it's sometimes inside the house, it's colder than outside. It's totally different, yeah. And we needed time to get used to this.
Did you manage to get used to it?
Yeah.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel pretty comfortable now when it's plus 16 in my house. Mm-hmm. It's totally okay. I cannot believe that I would say that in Ukraine, that it's plus 16 and I'm sitting in a t-shirt. Well, no way.
I'm sitting in my hoodie at the moment, and it's still for me because I arrived a little bit later. And for me, it's still, I kind of still, Ola sitting in a t-shirt, and I still need a hoodie for that sort of
because
temperature.
Because you're not so long here.
No, I've been only here for a year.
Yeah, in 3 years, you will be all right.
To talk about, for example, Christmas traditions, because here I also came, and Christmas tradition is more like barbecue. So still, we're talking about Christmas.
About Christmas, yeah.
Let's talk about Christmas.
Because it's winter. Yeah, Summer.
Because it's winter, yeah. Then you have the same thing. So Christmas is more kind of like gifts as well, you know. Gifts and so presents and barbecue and family events. So, I would say in Ukraine is a little bit different, but Ukraine is a big country. And so I know that you come from Kyiv.
Yeah.
And I come from Lviv. And that, just for our listeners to explain, that it's about, how many, 600 kilometers apart? 500 kilometers?
500 and a half.
500
yeah.
and a half.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, 500 kilometers apart. And so Kyiv is in the center, obviously, it's a little like, and Lviv is a little bit to the west. And, for example, Christmas traditions were still different because Ukraine has a lot of regions that each of them could have a different tradition and different food. Especially, for example, countries in the south like Crimea or the Odessa region, they would have a lot of things to do with fish, which we wouldn't in the west because we are so far from the sea that, you know, we don't see fish.
So many rivers as well.
Yeah, and yeah. Kyiv is also different. So what is the sort of, because we have New Year and Christmas, you know, rather than just Christmas.
The thing is that central Ukraine was more impacted by Soviet Union, and western Ukraine is, well, kind of a little bit more independent from the Soviet Union. So Lviv, for example, kept the Ukrainian traditions more than Kyiv. And that's why probably Christmas is more important at
in the West.
In the West.
As the religious holiday. But yeah. As a religious holiday.
As a religious
rather
holiday.
Than, because I think what, as you said, Soviet, but it's more, I think, not religious, not related to religion celebration so much.
During the Soviet time, we didn't celebrate Christmas.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So in Kyiv, the main celebration was New Year's Eve, not the Christmas. And I know that in Western Ukraine, people still celebrated Christmas. Sometimes it was hidden, so people didn't want to show that they are religious, but they kept this religion thing and traditions of Ukraine.
Well, the church was forbidden.
Yes.
The church was forbidden everywhere. On the east, on the west, in the center, the religion was called the opium for the people, right? So church was not just that it was criticized, it was actually forbidden and persecuted. And my parents, I remember that my mother was telling me that when she was young and she was at the university, even in Lviv, in the western Ukraine, she was told by the Communist Party, and Communist Party had a little... Communist Party was basically KGB that was in every university, had its little youth center, that they would ask them to follow those who actually go to church, because majority of these people who would go to church would be people from villages who would keep, as you said, tradition, you know, who would have a grandmother who would, and so they would do it without any publicity. They would celebrate Christmas. And then this little Communist Party youth group would follow them towards wherever they were going and see whether they are actually celebrating. And if they were, then that they would be in trouble for that. And then after 1991, all this changed, of course. So Christmas became legal.
Yeah, and other interesting thing that we have in Ukraine, we have New Year's Eve and old New Year's Eve.
We have so many New Year's.
We have a couple of New Year's, and old New Year is 2 weeks after New Year.
New Year.
And we celebrated both. And the traditions were different. So for the New Year, not old New Year, we just had kind of party with friends, with the countdown at 12, with champagne, something like this.
Yeah.
And old New Year, we had traditional 13 dishes on the table, and it was more family celebration. This is what I had.
Oh, you had that for the old New Year.
Yeah. So we celebrated too.
Yeah, it was funny that we had this old New Year, New Year, and it was because of the calendars, I think. I couldn't understand that. But apparently it was the difference between the different Christian calendars. Like, I think it was, now it's the same. Now we celebrate. I think it's all because of the Russians.
Yes, exactly, because they changed the calendar.
Because they've changed the calendar. So we were celebrating before this kind of... because Russian Orthodox Church is celebrating all these different dates. And somehow we started celebrating with these odd dates. But now it's back to normal. So now the Christmas is like when everyone else is celebrating. New Year is the 31st, the night of the 31st of December. And that's it. And then basically it's finished. But as you said, when we were little or young, you know, we got used to the fact that actually festivities started from the Catholic Christmas, so which was a normal Christmas, and then so we celebrated Catholic Christmas, and then it would be New Year's. New Year.
Then another Christmas.
There would be an old New Year. Christmas and old New Year. So basically half of December and half of January, it was all gone. And then because Ukrainians take it very seriously. Celebration-wise.
Yeah, nobody worked.
Nobody worked?
Yeah, everybody celebrated.
Yeah.
First, everybody prepared to celebrate. Then they celebrated. Then after all of these celebrations, people relaxed and didn't do nothing, of course, for a couple of weeks. So this period of time in Ukraine, usually nobody works.
Nobody works. But this is also, we need to say that this is in the middle of winter, and now winters are cold. And I think it comes from the fact that traditionally you would be, if you were in the village, then you can't really do anything except really, you know,
celebrate.
Not to have a winter depression, you celebrate. Invite people who sing caroling and all of that. So that's fun. Yeah, so in New Zealand, that feels odd. The fact that it is summer and then kind of have all these enormous amount of celebrations in the middle of summer. Because we don't have celebrations in the middle of summer at all. Because summer is such agriculturally minded. Like, it's so much work in summer. Apart from
holidays. Yeah, we had some harvest celebrations in the... autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And something at spring, we have the...
Spas.
We still have something.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the summer, we have this Ivana Kupala.
The St. John's.
Then,
the day when...
Soli, how they call it?
she will cut it off. We forgot what is the English word for summer solstice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we celebrate
that. And we celebrate that. Yeah. We started to celebrate that again, maybe a couple of decades ago, after the Soviet Union collapsed, and we needed a little bit of time to start digging out our traditions and
from under the carpet.
Yes, from under the carpet, our own celebrations. Yeah, but you're right. We don't have a lot in the middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because it's a season for very active, because we have these strict seasons, so you don't have any other chance for anything to grow except spring and summer. And in autumn, you need to pick that all up. So it's very busy. And I think it's also corresponds, for example, in Europe, there's because in my book publishing, for example, most of the festivals are happening in autumn. And that's kind of like when you harvest and when you go to the market and when you, you know, exchange, sell and everything.
You have money, you have food, you can relax finally, and you can celebrate.
And you can celebrate. Well, here it's more like, I think, but I haven't tried it yet, but I was told that in New Zealand here you can reap two harvests per year. So you don't have to, because there's no such a strict seasons, that you don't have such a harsh winter. So things grow anyway. I mean,
all year round.
So when do you celebrate?
All the time.
You can celebrate everything whenever you want. It's very convenient how the culture is formed by nature, in a way, you know, by the cycle where what nature dictates for you to do. And here I think I had a very interesting conversation once with one lady, and she was asking me about Ukrainian kitchen, you know, and we were talking about the dishes, and I was talking about meat. So she was asking about the meat dishes, and I said, do you eat steak? And I said, actually no, steak is not something that we would eat, because solely our cat, we don't have meat cows so much, or didn't used to have. Now of course everything is possible, but meat cows would be a very expensive thing to have, because we have winter. So the grass need to be stored and the animal need to be inside. So it is very, very expensive steak, you know, to actually have a meat cow, probably, I don't know. But while in New Zealand here, you have this posture that, you know, 24/7 all year round, they graze around. So we eat the meat from the milk cow. And she said, oh, yuck, you know. I said, well, That's why our dishes are all kind of like a goulash or something that would be more cooked. So they would be a long cooked dishes because of the type of food that is available. It's very funny, you know. Like, and so I said, in New Zealand, it's such a privileged country to have such a plentiful crops. You know, for anyone who has four seasons and you only have two seasons, basically only one summer. And if your summer is bad, then you're very unlucky. Yeah. You have no harvest. And then, but the winter is still going to be there. But here it's very different. So what did you cook for? So cooking for Christmas and for New Year is also different. And so for every celebration, we have different type of dishes. We have different type of dishes for Christmas and different for New Year.
Yes.
Right? We don't drink champagne for Christmas.
We drink uzvar. Uzvar, it's Ukrainian compote.
Non-alcoholic drink. Soft drink, very nice.
Yeah, from dried apples, mm-hmm. dried pears, dried plums,
yeah,
prunes.
Yum.
Yeah, so it's very yummy. Yeah, but we don't drink alcohol for Christmas.
No.
Oh, here also.
Here people drink.
No.
For Christmas?
Oh, they can drink a little bit, but I know that for Christmas it's prohibited to sell alcohol.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So yeah. If you want you to wouldn't... drink, you can drink at home.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I thought because in Ukraine it's like, you know, one of these Ukrainians drink a lot. Yes, but not for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Oh. Not a lot.
For New Year we do.
Yeah, for New Year we do. For New Year we drink. And Ukraine has its own drinking traditions. We have nalivky, nastoyanky, a lot of wine, very nice Ukrainian wines.
That probably would be surprised to New Zealanders about Ukrainian wines, because it's not something that you would normally see in the shop.
Yeah, and also this, I don't know how to translate, liquor, it's mm-hmm. spirits, but nalivke and nastoyanke. So
how would you say that? Like, how? What would you compare?
It's not whiskey, it's not gin, it's something. So
like
you make
herbal sort of...
It's not only herbal, you can make this from anything.
From anything.
From anything.
From berries, we have from a little berries, side cherry.
Berries, fruits, horseradish.
Yes, you can make a horseradish one, yeah, that's true, but how would you...
Honey... Oh. Prunes, everything. So you can use everything. But nastoyanke is you add all of this after you make spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And nalivke you add before you make spirit.
So, so the technology.
The technology is different, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have, I think, if not thousand, but many hundreds of...
We should make a special program about the
drinks?
Ukrainian... Yeah, because I think this is very peculiar as well.
And this is interesting as well, because... Because to produce your own spirit is prohibited in Ukraine.
It is.
You cannot buy this column and make your own spirit in Ukraine.
Make your own alcohol. Yeah. Yeah, you can't. It's true.
But everybody did that hidden.
Yes. And because, of course, it's because alcohol has an excise duty, so the state obviously controls the alcohol intake. So, you couldn't have had your own little factory.
No, you couldn't.
But everyone has...
But yeah, in their garage.
In their garage, everyone has.
And sometimes it's dangerous.
Amount. Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah, because some people produce alcohol from even plastic bottles. I heard about that, yeah. So it's not...
Yeah, you should not be consuming that. Of course, it's unlicensed. Like, you generally shouldn't be consuming some dodgy alcohol from anybody, really, unless you know what it is. Because I know that some families, for example, in Zakarpattia especially, make very good wine.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of sort of homemade wine, apart from the... My favorite is cognac. I love Ukraine. I love the Karpatsky cognac. I think it's the best, really. Like, something that the world doesn't know about, the Ukraine has actually very good quality spirits. And because they're not not so much of them on the market. Although in Germany, when we lived in Germany, I had Zakarpatsky cognac with me. And I had an Italian person who's a friend of ours who was very much kind of a wine expert and everything. And I gave him to try and he said, wow, that's really, really good quality
and it's
drink.
Cheap.
And, it, oh, and
relatively
it's cheap.
And really, yeah.
It's very, very good quality, high quality drink and it's relatively cheap. It's still my favorite. Zakarpatsky is something that I would bring back. As you said,
okay.
Would you bring back from home? I would bring a bottle of Zakarpatsky cognac.
See you in the next episode. We still have a lot to talk about. Take care. Побачимось.
Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host, Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.